Praise the Lord. Can you call him your friend? Amen. That's the last statement of the preaching this morning. And we have it going into it as well. Can you call him your friend? Thank you, Carolyn. I saw Carolyn's pastor last Saturday at an annual conference, Brother Larry Barnhill, known him for years. And Brother Barnhill said, send her home. And I told him, I'm not going to do it. Amen. The Lord will have to do it. Praise the Lord. All right, get your Bibles this morning and let me read as an official text from Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. And we will also, I think, turn over and read just a verse or two from Acts chapter 13. And Abdil, I think I'm going to drop back and let me start with verse 23, Abdil. Acts chapter 11, and let's start with verse 23. And when he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. Now this is the visit of Barnabas to the church at Antioch, when the disciples had been under persecution in Jerusalem, and they were going all over the known world. And in the process of that, all of a sudden now they started going to some places and preaching, and Gentiles started coming into the faith. Then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. The church sent Barnabas to Antioch. Go find out what these people are doing. The conference office wanted to know what was happening in Antioch. So they sent Barnabas. Well, Barnabas got there, saw what was going on, and then he went after Saul of Tarsus. So it was that for one entire year, they assembled with the church and taught a great many people. That's Barnabas and Saul. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Now, go over to chapter 13. And it tells us a little more about that place where they were first called Christians. Now, it was not a applaud or a hand slap on the back term. It was a somewhat of a derogatory term. The world saw them, saw the church succeed. The world saw the church grow. The world saw the church following after Jesus. And so they said, you are like a little Christ. You are a Christian. Now in chapter 13, now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers. And you will find here about 5-6 different ethnic groups that was mentioned. Verse 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit was present there, and the Holy Spirit had a good audience, and the people would listen to him. So the Holy Spirit said, separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then having fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them and they sent them away. Derek, Megan, they sent them away to carry the message. Now, I want to talk to you this morning for just a few moments about the four biblical words that tell us what a great Christian should be, what a great Christian would be. Now, remember the last time I preached in the church, whenever that was, on Sunday morning, seems like 100 years ago, I talked to you and asked you the question, what is a great church? What is a great church? Well, today our subject is what's a great Christian? But what is a great church? And we said that a great church was one of the power of the Holy Spirit. Power of the Holy Spirit was present. There was great grace, and of his fullness we all have received grace upon grace. So great power of the Spirit, great grace, great reverence, normally persecution, and then the last thing that we said, whenever that was, great joy, great joy. And so this morning, I want you for just a moment to humor the pastor, okay? Pastor's up, he's trying to preach. So I want you to humor the pastor for just a moment. I want you to close your eyes and see in your mind, in your heart as well, the greatest Christian in your life. Do it now. And if I see your eyes open, I might call you by name. Amen. Now, everybody will be different, but I want you, I'm going to do it too. I'm closing my eyes, and I'm trying to see the face, the facial expressions. Remember the acts, how they live their life. And I'm seeing several people this morning. I'm seeing an old agriculture ag teacher. His name was R.K. Jernigan. He was a Methodist lay preacher, but R.K. Jernigan influenced my life. I'm seeing this morning my grandmother, Dessie Mae Thompson. I'm seeing her when she would do that little dance that she did. I'm seeing Dessie Mae when she would stand up and testify. I'm seeing this morning and hearing the voice of my own father with his testimony, with his firm conviction. R.K. Jernigan, great Christian. Donald Thompson, great Christian. I'm seeing my own sister who made it hard for me growing up, but she was a great woman of God and still is. I'm even hearing the voice of Betty Lou Richardson Thompson, and she'll get me for that Lou part. I'm hearing the voice of Betty Thompson as in my life has influenced me, such a woman of God, such a great Christian. Did you think of someone? Open your eyes. How many of you thought more than one person? More than one? Yeah. How many of you recognize that we are who we are because of examples? And we read opening the service this morning that word there, that we are followers and we follow those that follow him. And in a sense, that word imitator. It's not a bad word. It's not a bad word. Would God, we had some role models, more role models. Hollywood is not normally a good role model. Amen. But that we have those that can go before us. And even in this congregation, some very special people. The one who actually started this church. The one who started the Bible College in 1898. Nicholas John Holmes. We could say that N.J., I never met him. He died before my daddy and mama were born. He died and, was it in the 20s, I believe, but 21, something like that. Am I right? Bill, you weren't there either. But I'm trying to remember exactly. But to understand that even this building that we're in and this campus is a result of a great follower of the Lord. I'm thinking about and thought about two uncles who were alcoholics, but they came to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And for them, it was a powerful victory to be able to put the bottle down and live for Jesus. And their last years were their best years. So we look at this and we see so many people today, some that on the TV and would carry the title Christian. And yet their lives are so foreign to this book and what this book would say. And so I want to just say this morning quickly, Betty and I have to drive 260 miles after the service and be there by 5 o'clock. So we have an incentive for the pastor to get to it, throw it out there, and move on in Jesus' name. But when you study the Bible, they were called Christians first at Antioch. And I've got several scriptures I will share with you. Some are in the bulletin this morning. But to look at this idea that as a Christian, we are a follower of Jesus. Yes, the Bible would tell us, would lead us to believe that a Christian is Christ man. A Christian is a Christ man. A Christian, by definition, would be someone that has accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, but also as their Lord and their Master. Now, some today would accept the Savior part, but when it comes to the Lordship of Jesus, that's a little bit of a different story. An N.J. Holmes, who was the county solicitor, who was a great politician, who many thought would be the governor of South Carolina, listened to the voice of God, and God said, I don't want that for you. I want you to go up on Paris Mountain. The man had some money. He bought an old hotel and then started Holmes Bible College in obedience to the Lord and started that journey of faith. And so this morning, for a quick moment, look at the four terms in the New Testament that give us a little clue. What is a great Christian? What is a great Christian? The first one is simply the word believer. The word believer. I will take you to Acts chapter 16 and in verse 31. And when you get to Acts 16, 31, look at it there. I've written scriptures down, so I'm going to refer to, if I can read my writing, I'm going to try to read the scripture. It's Paul and Silas said to the Philippian jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. You and your household. Now, that word believe there actually could be interpreted rely. It was more than just making a profession of faith. It was a life change. And so the first word in the New Testament that gives us a clue about what is a great Christian is that we have that life change. We have an expression of faith, yes, but it's much more than that. We are changing the way that we've been living. We are now choosing to rely upon Him. Marguerite, I've heard you tell many times about World War II and about the ships in front of you and the ships behind you that were sunk at the beginning of World War II. And if you're in a ship, and the Japanese and Germans are sinking ships in front of you, I think perhaps Germans, but sinking ships in front of you and sinking ships behind you. And maybe people standing on the decks of those ships and looking for those white streaks in the water, which would signal a running of the torpedo. You are relearning to rely upon Jesus. And many times in the morning when I get up from my morning prayer and I kneel and I start talking to the Lord, and sometimes, oh, it just starts hitting me. Things that need to be done today. People that need to be talked to. Miracles that God needs to do. And sometimes I say, Lord, I can't do it. Well, He's known that all the time. And it's good for me to realize it. And I cannot. And so a great Christian is one who learns to rely upon. Another way of saying that is Jesus becomes your power of attorney. And so the old adage that we have, for faith, forsaking all, I take Him. I heard that first of all from Lois Bradford, who is close to a 90-year-old Christian. And she got up one Wednesday night in Cary, North Carolina, where Betty and I were starting a church. And she got up and said, I'm going to speak on faith tonight, and I'm going to use this
F-A-I-T-H, forsaken all, I take him. And she told us that in her life, how she had learned to rely upon Jesus. We give our will to him. We submit our will to him. That's what it means to be a believer. And then the second word is the word disciple. And I've chosen to read in that second word, I've chosen to read that verse in Matthew 11, chapter 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. A disciple is one who learns. And so what we're talking about here, a disciple deals with the realm of the intellect. Our will has been given over to him. But now we yield to him in the intellect. John 3:36. I'm backing up just a little. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe in the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. And so when we believe in him as a son, we tend to grow in him and learn of him. A disciple implies discipline. Discipline. Listen, in Hebrews 12:5-6. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. I remember as a son and as a learner, I went up to my dad on one occasion. Some of you have heard this story. And Dad had a bum leg and a leg Chester Good, if you please, gun smoke. Dad would walk and he had to sling that leg. He couldn't bend the hill. And so Dad had to sling that leg. And something I did, I don't know what I did, but I was feeling my authority. And I went up to Dad and dared him to whip me. Dared him to whip me. I said, you can't get your belt off and whip me. I can run faster. But I forgot how fast he was with his arm. He couldn't move that leg. But he grabbed me before I knew what had happened. He grabbed me and holding me and with his other hand, he took that belt out and tore my doghouse down. You see, as a son and as a learner, sometimes we have to be chastened or sometimes we have to be disciplined. And that's not a fun thing necessarily. Matthew 10:38. And he who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. And so as a disciple, we learn. Our will is committed to him. And then you'll find in John 13:35, and we'll pick this verse up a little later as well. By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another. A learner. Are you still learning? Do you know what I did yesterday morning? I got Betty's Blue Dawn dishwashing detergent, Macy. And I read the direction. Oh, Betty said, the great wise one said, you add 3 parts water to 1 part Dawn. And I got that Miracle-Gro feeder and put dishwashing pure stuff, full strength stuff in there. And then turned on the water hose and I bathed my eggplants and my cucumbers and my tomatoes with dishwashing detergent. And I did that because there were worms. I did that because there were lazy ladybugs. And I did that because there was those old stink bugs. And would you believe, I am believing that that will make a difference, that they will quit biting my cucumbers and my tomatoes and making all those old ugly spots in my tomatoes. You see, we can learn some new things. Now, who can imagine that? Washing your tomato plants with dishwashing detergent. It's been done. I'll let you know how it comes out. You see, in our life, God speaks to us. And we don't have it all. We don't know it all. And we don't know what everybody's doing out there. But He knows. He knows. And so we take up our cross. We take up our challenge. We take up our burden. If we are a great Christian, if we are a great Christian, it begins by believing in Him. But it continues as we learn. And it's been said, if you're going to be a great Christian, a great person, you will always be a reader. You will always be a reader. And so I'm constantly reading the book, different translations, trying to understand what is God trying to say to me. The third word is the word follower. Follower. And we picked up that verse from Hebrews 6:11-12. And as we read Hebrews 6:11-12 in the New King James, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And so it's the idea, the normal King James, regular King James, the word is follow, follow, follow. And so the idea is that we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are recognized as a part of those that are following after Him. Many has been the time in my journey in life that as I follow Jesus, I come to learn more things about Him. I come to learn exactly how He approaches certain situations. And so when we deal with following, we're dealing with the affections. We're talking about a person who loves Jesus with a devotion sufficient to follow Him wherever He may go. You remember that Old Testament scripture? Ruth? Ruth? And Betty said to me 44 years ago, whither thou goest, I will go. And I will tell you that a couple of times, I will tell you that in every time she went. But I will tell you in a couple of times, she was a little slow in agreement. But she got there. She got there. And Betty and I have always bounced off each other. What is the Lord saying to us? What is He saying to you? What is He saying to me? Because we believe that as He brought us together, that as He is leading us, that He will lead us. And He has a plan that puts both of us together. So we have learned to follow Him. And we have learned that in following Him, there's joy in the Master's companionship. That there's joy as we follow Him. And we'll be able to say, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll say what you want me to say. We then get under the burden and we do it together to follow Him. And we know that where He leads, He will give us the strength to make a step by step. And so He today is our leader, and so we've learned to get behind Him. I remember with Dad when we would start in farming, and we would get on the tractor and we'd turn over that sod, and breaking the land, we called it, when we turned the sod. And then we would get out there and we would measure where the different crops would grow. And I learned how to calculate. And I learned how with my dad, and dad got paid several years for measuring other people's land, and was hired by the agricultural department. And dad never graduated from high school. He quit in the ninth grade, but he was a brilliant man. But when we would start walking across those plowed up fields, and I was his gopher. And so daddy would say, "Now, Bo, when we're walking across this plowed up field, it'll be easier for you if you'll put your feet where I put my feet." And so, but the problem with that is that Donald Thompson was 6 foot plus. And Bo Thompson at that point was probably just breaking 4.5 at when we first got started. And so when Donald was taking big steps, here's Bo barely making it. And I would focus so much on following his footsteps, sometimes I'd fail to count like I was supposed to count. Can I tell you something? Sometimes when the Lord is moving, he's taking Tim Conway steps. Oh, I love Tim Conway. Would God we had more comedians like Tim Conway. But Tim Conway would just make a solid, like a wheel track. And then others, you know, out there. But Jesus, sometimes it's the big steps and then it's the little steps. And sometimes if you're not watching, he'll stop and you'll run right into it. Follow. Follow. So we are today, if we are a great Christian, we are a believer. We are a learner. We are a disciple. And we are a follower. A follower. But then the fourth one is we're a brother. 1 John 3:14. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brothers. He who does not love his brother abides in death. 1 John 4:20. If someone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And John 13:35, we get back to that verse. By this all will know that you are my disciples. By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. There have been times I've said to the Lord through the years, "Lord, does that mean that person? Lord, are you sure? Is it possible, Lord?" And the Lord has shown me that it is more than possible. You understand how we treat each other is a proof of our relationship with Him. So I would tell you today that a great Christian is very simply someone who has fallen in love with Jesus. And a great Christian, very simply, is someone who believes in Him. It is someone who is learning more about Him and learning Him, not just about Him, but experiencing Him. Someone whose will has been given over. Someone whose intellect has been given over. And so it's not just the head, but it's the heart. But then it leads to the hands that we love, we do. One for the other. Jesus is all the world to me. My life, my joy, my all. He is my strength from day to day. Without Him, I would surely fall. When I am sad, to Him I go. No other one can cheer me so. When I am sad, He makes me glad. He is my friend. He is my friend. And so I asked you today, if we are going to have a great church, why cannot we continue to have some great Christians?
Because it takes the great Christians to make a great church. So stand with me this morning. Think on these things this week. Think on these things. Are you a real believer? Is your will? Are you a learner? Are you a disciple? Are you a follower? Are you loving your brother? Brother Wayne, if you were here, have we lost Wayne? There, oh, he's hiding behind Bill. Come on, Wayne. Great Christian. And they were called Christians first. They were called Christians first at Antioch. If there's any term that I would want the world to identify with me, is that I am a Christ follower. Janet Johnson tells us that people in our community are watching as to how Betty and I will live. And Janet said about us not long after we moved in, I was going to wait and see if you were going to do anything to that yard. And she made some comments about our yard and how some things needed to be done. People are watching you. Abigail, happy birthday. People are watching you. David, people are watching you at work, wherever we are. Wherever we are. Wanda, people even at Panera Bread are watching you. And they see your faithfulness every Tuesday night. Thank God Wanda Bucklew is faithful to Panera Bread every Tuesday night. Can I get a witness? People are watching. People are watching. Will they say of us, that's a Christian? That's a Christian. That's my desire. Is it your desire? Could we close with prayer this morning? Come on. Lord, here we are. Thank you for this good number in church today, Lord. Here we are, Lord. Lord, we desire to be Christians. Let it be said of us that we're Christians. We are believers. We are disciples. We're learning as we go. We are followers. We are followers. And we are brothers and sisters together in the faith. That we come to each other's rescue. That we pray. That we believe. Oh, Lord.